This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date. Terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
Do you need a ride? 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 Do you need a ride?
With Karen and Chris. Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
And this is Karen Kilgariff.
Hello, Karen.
Hello, Chris.
I have something to share, and I think you might be disappointed in me, but it ended okay, so don't panic.
Did you contract feline AIDS and then cure yourself of it?
No.
And you're going to tell a story about that?
I've been trying. I'm always looking for another reason to bring up cat-specific immune deficiency. But this time, it was just it's a mistake that kind of anyone could make, really. I don't know if you do this, but a lot of people jam Q-tips in their ears, right?
Yeah, a classic Dave Attell bit about that, yeah.
It feels great, and I don't like using little pieces of plastic, so I've been getting the wooden ones, and they're also more rigid and more pleasant to the ear. And I broke one off right at the base of where the cotton mm-hmm. starts, and it fell into my ear. And I knew when I looked at the remaining Q-tip wood that it broke off very sharp and I could not reach it. And it was leaning against my eardrum. So because I was on my way to go get this haircut, I figured he's a haircutter. My haircutter will have a steady hand. And then on the way down there, I remembered he is actually shakes a lot. Nothing against my haircutter, but he's a shaker. And so am I. I tried to grab him with tweezers, and I just didn't trust myself. So I put the tweezers in my pocket, and then luckily ran into this friend in the neighborhood that's also into miniatures like me. He makes tiny furniture and stuff, and I'm like, perfect. And he said hi, and I said, before I even talk to you, can you please pull this out of my ear? And he did it with surgical precision. It took like 15 minutes, though. It's very scary. And then,
there's a lot of risk there. It, like, you've basically pulled someone in to be like, can you help me? And maybe I'll sue you at the end of
right.
it.
Right. I think he knew I wouldn't sue. He knows me to not be litigious. That's all he knows about me is that I've never been to court.
Right. And that's the only reason he's friends with you in the neighborhood.
Yeah. And he did agree. I mean, but it scared me because he's like, I don't see it. I have to get you to lean over so the sunlight goes into your ear. Whatever. It was horrifying, but he immediately pulled it out and it looked like a tiny knife. It was horrifying.
Yeah, that sounds truly awful. Also, if there's ever been an argument for Medicare for all and for socialized medicine in this country, it's the idea that if people are left to their own devices, they have to take to the streets to get shit taken out of their ear canal.
I literally took to the streets to find as close to a doctor as I could in my neighborhood.
I mean, you're so lucky.
Well, barbers, I mean, I was in the right back in the old timey days. Barbers were doctors. You get your haircut and they'll give you an elixir for gout or parentheses legs or whatever your ailment is.
Right. Although, were they actually doctors or were they just the guy that was willing to like leech you and, you know, get rid of the whatever bodily humors?
Yeah, yeah. Give a bottle of 7-Up to your baby because it helps with teething.
Can I say, we're spanning a lot of time in that type of doctor, but I actually, that makes me think, because, and this is a very strange thing to say, but it is true. My sister just said it on the phone the other day. As a family, we have a lot of earwax and ear canal issues.
Oh.
So my grandfather had it. My sister has it. It's like ear infections, da-da-da, right? So my obsession is that when I was in kindergarten, the boy that sat next to me in class had the dirtiest ears, and I was mildly obsessed with how disgusting it was. So I never want to be like that.
I was traumatized in a similar way, yeah.
So I recently saw it came, and I wonder if it's because my sister and I talk about it relatively often, an ad came up on my phone for a little thing, and you might want to look into this, and it is metal, and it is a Q-tip-shaped spiral coil.
Yeah, I have seen that.
Have you seen it, right?
Yeah.
And so it goes in and removes without, like, it stays all in one piece.
Yeah, like a cork.
Piece. I want that.
Out, and it goes... Oh.
And then it has, like, a clump of goo on it where you're like, it's gone.
Yeah.
I'm clean.
I mean...
Wouldn't that be great?
This might be disgusting for a lot of people. But half of them are into this pimple-popping doctor. I don't have any room for that.
They have no right to judge us, not how disgusting they are.
I'm a bit of a wax guy, sorry. A bit of an earwax hound.
Well, it is satisfying. You know, I don't argue with the Dr. Pimple Popper people because it's satisfying to watch a problem get solved.
Yeah.
Ours is just a different thing where it's like, I just want to know what's in there and I want it out.
Right. And I want to put it on a slide and look at it with my electron microscope.
And then I want to take that slide and I want to walk it down the street and hope I run into someone I know to say, hey, did you know this was in my ear?
On the streets, find as close as I can someone who's a scientist.
Or a comic.
Yeah, a comic will do.
Our guest today has played clubs and colleges
all
over the country.
Director, producer, writer, actor, showrunner.
OG podcaster.
Podcaster.
Like, one of the first, one of the best, a podcast that used to get me through my everyday / week. Who charted I'm talking about? It's the one and only Kulap Vilayasok.
Hello. I need to talk about this wax, guys. Let me in. Let me in on this wax.
Of course.
She's in already. Yeah.
I need to talk about this because I also am of wet wax in the ears because I'm Southeast Asian. Now, what I learned recently is a lot of East Asians, like my co-host for At Descartes, Suchin Pak of MTV Days, they have dry wax ears.
Right.
So they never were messing with Q-tips.
Oh.
They always had sort of like rigid or like almost like metal scoops to get out their dry wax. Different experience.
Wow. They put a metal scoop in their ear?
Tiny little metal scoops, like a mom... My friends have described it where their mom would have laid them down and that was sort of almost like a kind memory of their mom tending to them.
Grooming them, yes.
Yes,
exactly.
Yes. Like, but that a little like scoop where mine is just like, you know, wet and yellow.
Yeah, kind of like, that's interesting. I guess I'm a dry wax guy. There's always those, it's euphoric, that moment where you feel... loose wax fall like a stalactite in your ear cave and it kind of tickles and then it falls out in a perfect little sphere.
That has only happened to me once because I've never allowed it. I've never let it happen naturally. And I was shocked and like, of course, immediately Googled, am I dying?
Yeah.
And then those like, they were like, that's what should be.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be messing with it.
Right.
Yeah, they really, you know? They recommend against Q-tips, which every time I use Q-tips, I'm always like, these doctor, you know, as the action I'm doing to these guys is at the
good
actual
mime
Q-tip
work.
Action.
Good space work.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So unappreciated on podcasts when you do a really good space work. But as I do it, I'm always just kind of like, they're wrong about this. Like, yeah. I understand they don't want you to jam it in there and puncture your own eardrum.
Or a baby.
What a nightmare that would be.
The picture is of a baby. If they wanted to warn adults, it would be a drawing of an adult.
Right. Yeah. True. But it's like, I'm just like, I understand that like using Q-tips is probably compacting or impacting, whichever the correct term is.
Yeah.
The wax in further down into
your
canal.
I'm sure that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, right? Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
But that's what they don't want you to do. But here's the thing. If we all go in on these spiral things, it sounds like what your friend is describing, but it's almost like a safer version because it can't poke. It's a rounded
want it. And it kind of twists it out like a threaded screw or something, right?
Yes.
So are we thinking this is like an Amazon or like a special ear place? Or what do we think? Where can we add to cart?
It's like, my theory is
plugging
that
the
because
podcast it, already.
It came, I'm very smart.
Yes. It's a podcast, but be honest, it's a way of life.
Yes. Well, that's the best kind,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
When it's all really sincere and real.
Very easy. Don't have to push it.
Comes right. Comes to you naturally. I think it's one of the websites where it's all those inventions for like life hacks where they're like, never chop your carrots again. And then it's this weird machine that attacks your carrots for you or whatever.
So,
I've seen those.
As seen on TV.com.
Is the vibe I got from the ad I saw.
Right,
but
right.
I can't say for sure.
Yeah.
But now that we're all talking about it, it will pop up on Instagram.
Right, like, exactly.
It will. We're going to find out pretty fast.
Even if I have it turned off, it's listening.
Always.
The
always.
World is horrifying.
Whoever sees that ad first, no joke, has to buy three and then take care of it.
I think,
okay.
Let us all agree.
Yes, please.
I'm just glad that you're accepting that I even dig around there in general. I thought I was being real sinful. Because to be perfectly honest, it's for the feel of it.
Well, it's very satisfying.
Yeah.
It is.
I put Q-tips in all my orifices.
Oh. Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
You want to add that to cart? I don't know.
I do.
That might be a remove for me.
I put them in my mouth like a walrus and reenact that scene from Ferris Bueller.
Oh, okay. I like that. I kind of like
that. Then I put a bunch in my ears.
And
then I jam him in my tear ducts. I'm sorry. Awful. That's an awful thing to have.
Although, may I just, I think second only to like post-shower, slightly itchy ear Q-tip work is, and I find this often at the end of the day when I'm sitting on the couch watching TV, just go in for a nice like 45-second eye rub. Sometimes, especially if I don't have makeup on, it's not doing a bunch of crazy stuff. A nice, just like slightly itchy eye, and then just rubbing it for a while, which is in you probably shouldn't do that.
They tell us not to do it. They tell us not to do it, but we do it, don't we?
It feels so good.
It feels great,
especially if there's a little bit of sand in there.
Yeah,
little
like
bit of sleep
after a day at the beach. Yeah, I have a big problem with rubbing my eyes.
You know, we're all looking for those moments of satisfaction.
Yeah.
I think
throughout
the day. And relief.
And this isn't, I know that this isn't logical, but sometimes when I feel like back to the ears of like, oh man, I feel like I'm not listening. Let me get a Q-tip there. You know what? And I feel like if there was wax, I've solved a problem.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm like, now I'm hearing people better.
Yeah.
Right.
It is not my personality.
Yeah.
It is because it's not a deficiency of my personality. It is because I do wax in my ears.
It's a medical blockage.
The wax in my ear causes me to only wait for someone to stop talking so I can say what I want to say. It's the wax.
It's the wax.
Damn interrupting wax is what we call it in the business.
And we will close out on this wax conversation shortly.
No,
we never claimed to be a Q-tip podcast and we never will be. That's a promise from here on. But what the hell else are they for if not jamming your ears? You're supposed to apply Vaseline to your eyebrows? Like what do Q-tips do? Makeup removal?
Eye makeup was maybe I put my mascara on too aggressively.
Same.
That's it.
Yeah.
I always have extra eyelash lines on my eyelid after no matter how careful I'm trying to be. So there's a definitely makeup when you want your makeup to not be, when you want to be detail oriented. I also love to make my eyebrows too big. I don't love it, but I seem to always go like one of my eyebrows will be just way thicker than the other. And then I have to go back in with a Q-tip and make it accurate to its mate.
Take it a little bit off, you know?
Right?
Too much saturation, got to take it off.
There's a little removal. I don't need those crazy like Elvira eyebrows every time.
But everyone knows we put them in our ear. Actually, there was a podcast I did that was a trivia thing. And one of the questions is, this item found in your bathroom, also known as the baby pleaser or the baby, something about baby. Yeah, I think let's just say baby pleaser. And I guessed Q-tip and I was right. It's an old timey.
Baby pleaser.
Yeah. Terrible
what?
Wording. Yeah. You want to please your baby? Sure, you can feed it. Do that first. But if it's still cranky, you please that baby with a Q-tip in the ear. Parent of the
year. Please that baby.
Please that baby.
Where do we put the baby pleasers? They're next to the tweezers, you know, to fish them out when they break off. That's my old-timey bad parent. All right.
And also still hung up that you are living in a neighborhood with a fellow tiny furniture builder. Happened to run into him.
You know what?
What are the odds?
A lot of people are into it. You just got to ask around. Everyone's at home building tiny furniture with a monocle. It's all the rage right now. And
I've seen miniatures. I haven't known people who build the miniatures.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's a new wrinkle for me.
Yeah.
I feel like it's definitely, I mean, I know for Chris's experience, it's like a quarantine.
Yeah.
Type of development, but like, cool up. Did you have anything like that in quarantine where
it Legos. Was like
for really?
yeah, Legos. I have a Fast and the Furious Challenger that I built.
Oh, that's
I have
great.
A James Bond car that I built.
That's
and
great.
A kind of city scene that it was a brownstone and an adjacent library.
Ooh, I love... See, that's right up the alley. I think that miniature work is swaying the Lego company now. All I want to do is a facade of brownstone houses in miniature.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
That would be really cool.
Do you glue
them? Elevate a dollhouse. I haven't done that. Maybe I should, though. But I mean, because they have become... They're displayed right now.
Yes.
That's great. On your bookshelf, right?
Yeah. One is one's on the mantle.
Yeah.
One's on a bookshelf. One is in front of the TV right now. The Challenger is right in front of the TV.
I was going to ask, is that the kind of thing you can do while you're watching TV? Or do you have to like concentrate on what you're building and matching and looking at the plans?
I don't think I could do it. Maybe while listening to a podcast, but not while watching TV.
Yeah, the plans are, I did some Lego work over Christmas. I guess it's been a few years now. But what is time other than a bendable concept? Yeah, the plans are, you have to pay attention. It's hard.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Because I'm dividing the types of, like in each bag, I'm dividing the same types to that. And I want to make sure that I become very meticulous about it.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, I messed up. Got to start over. And so, and that's like, Scott is not a part of this at all. My husband is, this is just a thing that I took on.
It's for solo. Yeah. For idle time.
Yeah. It's not really, I don't think it's a group, like a puzzle can be a group thing.
Sure.
This is very solo. And we've been coming out of the pandemic or I've become more active. I've got two sets that were gifted to me that I haven't even gotten into.
What are those? What movie franchise do those bring back to life?
No movie franchise. Actually, this is really cool. It's like an old-timey typewriter, like old-timey looking typewriter.
I saw that one.
Wow.
Yeah. I saw that on social media.
I got that for Christmas. And then my sister, for my birthday, got me... have you guys seen the ones that look like floral arrangements?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's great.
Lego's pretty cool.
Yes, it is.
It's pretty cool. But I tried to get the Home Alone and it was sold out. So I know I sounded so highbrow before. I really wanted to humble myself before you guys.
Well, you just want all the good ones, and B, don't forget that Christmas is right around the corner.
Yeah, that's so a holiday Lego fine. Gift.
Right.
That's true. That's true. And I love Christmas. I really do. I start early.
Well, I want to look into the plant Legos because all my plants are just dead. I have empty vases. This place is lousy with empty vases.
That was also a pandemic activity. I was one of those people that started to acquire plants.
Yeah, me too. Mm. Me too.
Nice.
Yeah. They're all dead. They're all dead.
Mine are good.
One's nice. What's that called? Isn't that like an elephant something? Elephant leaf or something?
Monstera.
Monstera?
Yeah.
Oh, like a monster?
Yeah. Yep. They're cool plants because they start to, the reason why the leaves sort of split is to not block light for the other leaves.
Generous.
They're not a selfish plant.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Good. All the plants around this place only think of themselves. That's why I let them die.
They deserved it.
Yeah.
I think I have 4 plants in this house that I haven't killed yet. So it's been, I would say, 3 years, which is definitely an all-time record for me.
Oh, yeah.
Because even with the most sincere, like, going out to buy it and pick it and da-da-da, there's a certain point where I just decide to stop watering the plant. And it's like a weird rebellion. And then I just slowly kill it. Like, my friend Allison gave me one year for my birthday. And then I was just like, yeah, I killed that plant you gave me. Like, I killed that plant with the full awareness that I was like not taking care of it.
Yeah.
It was like awful. Yeah. So I tried to mend my ways. Now I have 4 good plants that I really have a system with.
You're able to let go. You're able to.
You know, I was really going through something and I just needed to like, hey, we all mess up.
Yeah.
Let's do better in the future, whatever.
Well, dogs. Okay, they're done. Sorry, guys.
No, it's quite all right. This is a dog-friendly podcast.
This is actually, there's a dog audience.
Yeah, those aren't pillows.
Right there. And new pillows.
So
perfect
cute.
Symmetrical laying. I love it.
So cute. They're flanking you butt to butt.
Yeah.
And sleeping, which is a miracle.
You look like you have angel wings, but they're made of dogs.
But it's dogs and out of my butt.
Yes.
Oh, wait, I was going to ask, Kulup, do you watch that Lego show that Will Arnett hosts?
Yeah, it's very, I really like it.
I heard it's great.
It's like perfect for him. Like he's doing the right amount of like bits and like doing the like the crowd work with the contestants. Like it's like the right tone.
Yeah.
And they're building cool shit.
Right.
Very cool shit.
Will Arnett host some Lego competition show?
It's like I think it's on Fox or it's like a major channel. And it's almost like a game show, but they build Lego.
Lego Masters.
Lego Masters.
Yeah,
I'll
watch the shit out of that. I had a Lego addiction. It's so funny that even in 8th grade, I had friends where we would get together and didn't want anyone else to know about it. Because it was around the time I was skateboarding and starting to talk to girls. But I had my friends that were also still into Legos and we would make cars and like play with them. And I was about to be in high school. You know, it's like the gamer kids that still play Minecraft or something. It was just a part of my childhood that it was a long time. I held on to it for a long time and then finally let it go.
And it was a dangerous time to do that because in the 80s, you had to, that switch you had to make at a certain age and you could, it was easier for like me because I was a younger sister. I had an older sister that was like, stop doing that, right? People will attack you or whatever. But like you had to make switches from being a kid to pretending you didn't care about that stuff anymore, even when you did. Like I love that people these days are just like, yeah, this is what I like. I don't really give a shit if the
kids don't
other
care
people
anymore.
Don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was so petrified and conscious of what other people thought. And no one was even noticing me.
Right.
You know, that's the reality of it always.
Yes.
I could have played with Legos at school. But come junior year, guess who wasn't invisible anymore? The homecoming prince. That's right.
What?
But I'm not here to brag anymore.
Second.
Eh, well, you know, it's funny. I wasn't going to bring it up.
Breaking news for this podcast.
I think you've never talked about being in the homecoming.
I was royalty.
I didn't go to the game. I got in trouble, but I did go to the dance. And that's when I also revealed that I had been dancing for several years alone in my room and was ready to showcase that at the gymnasium.
And you did a full Chris Penn Footloose breakout.
I'm like, wait, all of high school could have been fun? I was hating the first couple years. And to be honest, I think I was nominated kind of as a joke. But then everyone voted for me, so that's no joke.
No, it's not.
No, yeah. I give you your flowers back then and right now. I think that's tremendous.
No one's ever given me flowers. You don't give me flowers anymore, Karen. And then we just go into the duet.
Because you kill them. I'm singing the wrong song, but
Cool Ups in the corner building her Lego set.
Did you have any breakout moments in high school like that? Like homecoming event?
I did play Powder Puff a couple, a junior and senior year. I was a very good linebacker. What are those things when you're like at the senior year and they say like best
superlatives?
Yes, I did get a good superlative.
What'd you get?
I haven't hung up on my wall. I really do. It's called the Seinfeld Award because I graduated in 98.
Nice. Oh, that's so the great. Funniest?
Yeah. The funniest gal. And then I have it framed. And then below, I have a framed picture of Jerry Seinfeld holding my superlative award.
you met him and brought it?
No, Scott. Scott did like a Between Two Ferns.
Oh,
and then
that's
for
great.
My birthday, asked him to do it. So that's
I love it. Yeah, I just watched the Seinfeld Between Two Ferns recently.
It was a really funny, fun surprise.
So great.
But it's so like, 98, of course, like instead of saying, you know, funniest person or whatever.
Does it really say gal on it?
No,
would just be a sign of the times.
That would be horrible, right? Yeah, the guy counterpart, I remember we took our funny photo was me holding him. Like a baby, I think. And he would go on to be an Abercrombie model.
Oh.
Oh.
a funny guy that then became a hot bod guy?
Yeah, which is kind of interesting because he was kind of like a skateboarding kind of like cool like guy. And then not what you would think would become a model. And I actually think his name was Chris.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Was it you?
We had a good run. I was told, and we mentioned this on the podcast, I was told at Abercrombie & Fitch that I was indeed not good at looking enough to work there. I was turned away.
It's a dark company.
Yeah.
And a dark store. Very dark, literally dark.
Yeah.
Literally
yeah.
dark.
Yeah.
Philosophically dark. It's not a good place to be, Karen, at all.
Were you voted funniest, Karen?
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
That's the reason we're all here today. Wait, all of
oh,
us.
Oh, should we do our secret
virtual Zoom high five?
Yeah, okay.
I'm doing a high 10, which is very 70s.
Weird Illuminati triangle.
But maybe that's what it should be, you guys.
Yes. Funniest gals. Us funniest gals have to stick together. I was actually, I'll be honest, because this is very superficial. I went to a tiny high school. So, I was a cheerleader and stuff. It was like, it wasn't like when other people talk about that, where I'm like, they needed people to do it. Like, there was, things like that. But I knew I was going to get funniest because I was just the most obnoxious. Like, that's all I did all the time. And it was, I really put my heart and soul into it.
Yeah.
So it didn't seem like.
Yeah, me too.
Secretly, I wanted best eyes. And
I could see that.
The girl who was basically the editor of the yearbook gave it to herself.
What?
Well, actually, I shouldn't say it that way. It may have been a voting thing, but it was one of those things where you're just kind of like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was the kind of thing where I was just like, nothing was enough in high school, it always felt like, where it's like, you never feel seen, you never feel like pretty enough or popular enough or whatever. So I was like, okay, here's what I need. And I would do that to myself all the time, where it's like, who gives a shit about any of these things? Yeah. Like, it's just in the yearbook.
Especially
I know,
best.
But our hormones were just like, everything was just so, the highs were high, the lows were low. And they're still like that, but it was a different, it was a smaller world.
Yes, exactly.
I don't think my high school had best eyes. Did they have other best legs and arms and stuff like that?
They had... They did have a lot of those things that were, they had biggest airhead, which I always was like,
ooh, that's like slam book territory.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. It was like different things, but I think in retrospect, it's like, here's this 80s way of like, here's how you categorize people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Smartest or biggest nerd. Or,
like a John Hughes movie.
Yes. And you're not, you shouldn't take anything personally. I don't know. But to me, I thought, oh, well, this might be the one way I break through to be like, to enter into like the pretty area. And then I was just like, damn it.
Did she at least have good eyes this winter?
Yeah, she had gorgeous
eyes. They were nothing to sneeze at.
I mean, look, blue eyes aren't that uncommon. It's not that big of a deal. And
I'm saying you should have sneezed right in her eyes and then hand her a Q-tip. Take care of it. If your eyes are so goddamn beautiful.
How big was your graduating class?
63 people.
Wow.
You said small. You said small.
I did. Because the town was small.
Wow.
And then it was the Catholic school in the town. So it was like even smaller. So the whole school had like 350 people in it. So yeah, it was intense.
Chris, how big was your graduating class?
I was starting to get nervous because I don't know. That's how little attention I paid.
Oh, okay. You're above it, buddy. You're above it.
200, maybe. Yeah.
200. I was 450.
Oh, wow. Where was that?
Egan, which is a suburb of St. Paul in Minnesota.
Oh, right. Okay. That's big.
Yeah.
450.
Wow.
And you still got funniest.
Yeah. I don't know how I pulled that off. I'm not sure.
It's Jerry Seinfeld level success.
63, like you were, before I interrupted you, you were about to say like that intense, like, and did you know everybody from like kindergarten? Like, did you?
I knew everybody from junior high because I went to public school until fifth grade and switched in junior high to sixth grade to the Catholic school. So everybody else in my class that was from our grammar school knew each other first to eighth grade. I knew them sixth to eighth grade. And then when we went to high school, the kids from Novato, which is the next town down, like 10 miles away, they came up to our school to go to Catholic school, and they all knew each other from first to eighth grade. So that was when it got like exciting because it was like new people to know or whatever. But it was it was a mid-80s high school experience. So there was a ton of, like, bullying was not only allowed, it was almost, like, encouraged.
Yeah.
It was, everyone had a nickname. Everyone, like, the best you could do was try to just keep it real, invisible, because you didn't want to be, you didn't really want to stand out in any particular way unless it was by being like the prettiest cheerleader or the most successful athlete
it's
or something.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
That was a mid-80s thing. My sister graduated in 87. I remember she had the coolest yearbook cover that was like a drawing of all these, like, just the whole book was covered with different high school interactions. And half of them were kids getting wedgies or their heads dunked in toilets or getting shoved in a locker.
Wow.
And then there's like the hot, muscly dude talking to a cheerleader. And I saw the cover of that book and I was horrified. Just those cartoon drawings on my sister's yearbook made me so scared to go to Sentinel High School because I thought I was going to get wedgies and pushing a penny. You're supposed to push a penny around a toilet seat with your nose.
What?
Yeah, it's unsanitary and mean.
That's insane.
What?
Again, very unsanitary. So you're bullying a kid and you have to explain the very intricate rules of how to... No, just with your note. You don't have to roll it. Here, I'll show you. And then they do it. Oh, I did it to myself. I think you make the penny go around like you would on a Ouija board, but you use your nerd nose to do it.
I have not heard of this specific hazing.
Yeah,
I haven't heard.
Ever.
I haven't heard of that one either.
Yeah,
but I have heard of swirlies, which definitely happened. There was a lot of toilet-based hazing, and also I watched almost every boy in our freshman class get put into a garbage can. Like that happened just every day. And also there was headbutting. A senior would walk up and headbutt a boy. And so we also saw a lot of the boys in our class cry, but kind of like against their will because it hurts so bad to get a headbutt.
Yeah.
It was so intense.
That's fucked up. It was really fucked up.
Yeah, headbutts are serious. Built like into the other person's head, not the nose. I mean, that's how you break a nose. You know, I'm not a big fighter, but anytime I saw kids about to fight and someone did a headbutt, it's such a sucker move. It's just, it's not a valiant move. I'm sorry. I'm anti-headbutt, even in violent scenarios.
Yeah, because both people can get hurt. It doesn't, it actually doesn't make sense.
No one wins in a headbutt.
No one wins.
There's a bumper sticker.
One fight in middle school.
What moves did you do?
Nothing, because it was basically done when she took my glasses off because I'm blind. She like threw my glasses down. I was like, well, that was because I can't see you.
She's not willing to punch someone with glasses. That's good that she was following that rule.
But what was the inciting incident to that fight? Like, give us the lead up.
I think she thought that I was talking shit on her. Maybe I said I mentioned to somebody that I heard when she got in a fight with another classmate, she peed herself. That might have come out of my mouth. And that feels familiar in the retelling that I'm saying now. But I think the larger issue was that a guy that she liked had a crush on me.
And then
we kind of got in a fight. It was not even like a big deal. It was like by the buses outside at the like, you know, after last period as we're going home. It got pulled apart very quickly. And then we became friends. We were friends. And then my dad came and picked me up. He was very disappointed. And he said, "If you're going to fight, you have to win." And that was his fatherly advice.
He's right about that.
My dad was always like, just make sure you're the first one punching. And I'm like, it's never going to be that way because I only know I'm in a fight after I've been punched. That's the only announcement that you're in a fight. Otherwise, someone's just pretending they're tough. But then when you get punched, you're like, wow, I guess you were more serious than I am about this. And all fights really just last one punch, really, when you're a kid.
No, but that's a great point because, like, you would, like, there would be kids who would just kind of, like, come at you, you know, and, like, kind of, like, get in your face, but not, they weren't serious. Like you said, they weren't serious.
Yeah.
So then you're right, until contact is made.
I hope that when you got in a fight with that girl, you put your dukes up and said, hey, you ready to piss yourself again? That would have been great.
I wish that too. If only we had time travel.
I love going back in time. And
get ready, Kelly. It's pissing time. And you have your thumbs tucked underneath your fingers.
Yeah, yeah. Because you don't want to break that finger. Yeah.
Can I make a counterpoint about headbutts just really quick?
Okay, listening.
Because, well, first of all, I think they're called the Glasgow Kiss, if I'm not mistaken.
Of course they are. And you're about to make a point after calling it the Glasgow Kiss.
The Glasgow Kiss is I saw Mark Flanagan, owner of Largo, do it one night to a guy that was insisting he was on the list. And the doorman is like, dude, you're not, and you're not getting in. And it was some show that was like a big deal, but this guy was like out of hand. And the doorman, I think it was PJ, was kind of just like, yeah, dude, you're not going to get in. He's like, oh, I'm so-and-so. I'm sure it was like some agent or some like publicist or something, but he was like super like screaming and out of control. And Flanagan walked up and like was like, hey man, step outside. And then they both walked outside and then he just headbutted him and dropped him and went back inside.
Oh my Lord.
Yeah. And it was like,
all right. So counterpoint, if you know how to do it, it doesn't hurt you, is your point.
It doesn't hurt you, and it very quickly takes care of bullshit assholes. Like, those kind of people that are going to make up a scene.
Right.
And kind of, like, think they're going to, like, asshole their way into something. It's just a kind of great thing to see when someone's just, like, standing there pretending to listen, and then they just slam their forehead into the asshole's face. I'm sorry. I think it's kind of great.
I love Flanny, and I do agree it's great. But the three of us, right? We're cerebral people. Aren't you constantly always worried about your head, though? Like I just don't know if I could chance it.
No,
you know, to headbutt a person. Like
no,
I,
we shouldn't.
Yeah,
we should never. Leave it to the people that have to.
Yeah.
I guess.
Because Karen, I was thinking about it. I was like, do I start headbutting people? That's why. And then I thought,
do I have to?
If I can amend.
Because I'm a physical person. Do I need to do that?
Yeah. Well, we just, now that I have seen Flanny do it, because I painted the picture perfectly.
Yeah, of course you did.
I just don't like headbutts to the nose.
But I painted the picture.
Oh, right. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, she's right.
Yeah. Well, I visualized your painting because you didn't show it. So also, I get partial art credit. We worked on this together.
Collab.
This word painting that we just did.
Let's both sign it and put it in the high school hallway. My buddy Ross and I painted a picture that was in the hallway and we both signed it.
I like that.
And nice. It's still there to this day.
What was it of?
A river with splashes of water hitting the rocks.
Because it was Montana?
Yeah, a lot of sponge trees.
Aw, that's nice.
Yeah, it's
pretty
nice.
Wait, what were you going to say? That you're interested in headbutting people?
No, I just, I guess my biggest fear is suddenly getting my nose broken. So
yes.
My disdain for headbutts is when they hit me in my already hoagie-like nose. So I just, if anyone's going to headbutt me and you're listening right now, please do it Flanny style, just to the middle of my head and put me out of, make me take a nap.
For us and what we do, I say, let's avoid our heads.
Okay,
may I recommend to the both of you, elbows. I've been kickboxing for many years now. The elbow is a great, strong with the forearm like that across the temple. You know, where you would want a headbutt. You take an elbow across, you take an elbow over. Does the job.
I feel like such a poser. I forgot you've been doing that. What is the actual...
tell us. I want to hear about that.
Muay Thai?
I'm interested in that.
Oh, and not like I'm not doing like, you know, any like... I'm not...
You don't have belts?
Fighting people.
I've seen video.
I'm not doing
video.
Smokers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you imagine? And it really would be, please, not my face.
No.
I changed my mind. Let me out.
Wait, no. I'm on my back.
Do you have a belt?
I don't know if Muay Thai does, or box. They probably do, but it's been more of just like a workout that I've just been doing for years because I'm not great at, I need the fitness one. Two, it has become sort of a physical meditation for me. It's just very satisfying to just make those types of like connection with foot and fist.
And are you doing it on a bag or are you doing it with other people or like, how do you, can you just give us an overview?
Yeah. So pre-pandemic, my friend and trainer, Kendra Smith, is like, she's fought before. She would hold mitts for me, which is such a fun experience.
Yeah, that would be fun. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I do have bags at my house. So like, I can do that at home too, as well.
Like the speed bag, the boogity, 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 brrr.
I don't have a speed bag. I have like a hanging heavy bag.
Yeah, those hurt my wrists.
And then a standing heavy bag. So it's a lot of kicking. I kick and punch.
I have seen video of you doing that. I know that you really do it. And I was impressed with what I saw.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I like it. It also helps how I walk in the world. It helps me feel like, especially like, you know, being a woman, as of late, being really conscious that I'm an Asian woman.
Yes, God.
That I, you know, feel like I can handle something.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be prepared.
Maybe it's not too late to say it's pissing time. Maybe it's in your future.
There's still going to be opportunities.
Even if that person's like, what?
Even which if you, is, to it's, reiterate. Its own strategy.
Yeah.
It's just bewilder somebody with saying it's pissing time.
And they're like, what? And then they look up like they're confused trying to think of what you might mean, and that's when you punch them right in the face.
Fucking bladder.
Yeah.
And they piss themselves.
Yeah. I never could think of the right thing, but I have when someone wanted to fight me, I got naked and that made them not want to fight me.
You did that?
Yeah, under the bridge downtown. I was also very drunk, and it was a phase in me and my friends used to get naked all the time. This is before it was very problematic, not realizing who was around a passing school bus or something, but we used to get, there was a restaurant over a river. So people at night, like you could eat there till 4 a.m. and the river just ran. And most people didn't look out the dark window at the river at night, but we would always get in it naked and just wade in the river. And then someone would eventually look over. And once you were spotted, you got out and you got in the car and you got the hell out of there.
You went home and you made a painting of that exact experience and you hung it at school.
Just so we all remember this moment.
You guys were the trees. Now I understand. Yeah.
Everyone that gets naked gets to sign the painting.
That's funny. I was a huge drinker, a huge fan of drinking, and truly enjoyed my drinking when I was in my cups in the time. And there was one time where my sister and Adrian, who's like my other sister, and I went, we were home for probably Christmas, and there's a bar in my town, and it was like, we were in our mid-20s, I think. So it was still that thing where everyone went away to college. And then when everyone would come back for the holidays, you'd go to whatever is McNear's, which is still there. And then you'd see people from your school and other schools. And it would be like this weird, like unofficial reunion where everyone would be kind of like drinking and, oh my God, we're all here together. So it was at the end of one of those nights where, you know, we all left at 2. And I was, of course, shit-faced. And my sister and Adrian were like just a little buzzed / drunk. And we were walking back up to their car. And we got up to the parking area where I knew the car was. But the car was on like the far furthest away from the entrance. And it's just an open blacktop, you know, parking lot. And then as I saw the car and I could see how much distance I had from the car, I started running toward the car and took my shirt off as I ran. And my sister, because it was one of those blousy 90s, like it just came right off over my head and it felt amazing. And my sister's like, stop it. What are you doing? And I just remember hearing Adrian go, it's fine. Let her do it. She's fine. it was just 100 feet to the car. Yeah. There wasn't anybody around, but it was the funniest, like, there's something in that level of drunk where you're just like,
freedom.
I just think I need yeah. yes, I need to feel free and I need to do exactly what I want right now.
Yeah. And whenever I'm drunk, I wanna get the way God made me.
That's right.
Yeah.
Get down to it and get in that river.
The latest development is I know I'm not the only one and I've become a mushroom person.
Yeah.
Oh,
this is what I'm up to, guys. This is what, and I'm up to it for multiple vibes. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm up to it via chocolate when I like want to be up and I want to, you know, like, and alcohol doesn't affect me the same and I'm just having the best time. But every 3 days, I'm also taking Psylo. What you guys know about this?
No.
So it's like a low dose of psilocybin gummies. And I take 2 pieces every 3 days. And it's been a game changer for me because it has helped with my focus and my mood, which I had to get back in this pandemic. Like there was, you know, like a lot of us, there was just consistently dark days and down days. A lot of just staring at the space between the window and myself, like not breaching out, like just
foreground.
The middle. Yeah, like just hazy, unfocused looking around. And it just like really helped me.
And does it get you high at all?
Not the microdosing that I'm doing.
Right.
Okay. That's a different thing.
It's really like mood and focus.
Yeah. And to be honest, mushrooms I've never understood. They don't get me that high, but I did them all this past weekend up at Max FunCon.
Okay.
I just acquired and that's the first time I've ever bought them for myself, paid money and had a bag and thought I had to hide it. But I was just in a good mood all weekend and for days after.
Yes.
There was like a happy hangover. And at night, I made everyone lay on, there was like 30 people leaving this party. And I made everyone lay on the driveway and look at the stars because it was insane up there. There was like a Milky Way haze around all the, you could see all the stars. And I got to be honest, there's 100 dippers of different sizes. We found so many dippers.
So many dippers.
But there was a motion detecting light. So I'm like, everyone put, make hand binoculars because it would block off the light. And then when the light went off, everyone cheered. Because it was beautiful and it was something I organized. I felt like the purple robe guy from Heaven's Gate. It felt very culty. I'm like, but everyone, the next day, I'm not kidding. People were thanking me. You know, I'm not like a spiritual, etheric, you know, I've never even noticed stars, but I had organized this star viewing party and it was really fun.
If we rewrite what he's, like told us of like how like we rewrite like how he was naked to avoid a conflict.
Yes.
And we rewrite it. We could make him sort of this messiah like figure how he painted cooperatively with his friend in the river. Like there's a way that we can kind of
seeing a messianic message here from Chris Fairbanks.
And only with the spousal agreement will I sleep with all of your wives.
Right. That's part of every one of those. But you know what's funny, Chris, is first of all, earlier said you're not a big fighter, which is a ludicrous thing for you to say. It's insane. But
in
I
my
think
adulthood.
It's because, yes. Yeah. so you were specifying high school, you weren't a big fighter.
Right.
Because
right.
I immediately flashed you that year of at Bridgetown where I looked over in the doorway and I think you were challenging a female security guard to fight.
She
and I
was just okay, like, first of all, she was a real cop that was off duty doing. And I wrote her a
volunteer
letter apologizing.
Work.
And by letter, I mean I got her phone number and texted her. Sorry. I was just making fun of her for vaping. Okay?
Chris, no, that's not
true. On duty
I witnessed
vapor?
The whole thing. My point is, what I'm loving is the discovery that, like, you know, maybe hard liquor isn't the way to go, but you're finding another way to have fun that's actually fun for you.
Yes. And it, much like the dance party up that I did stand up at that evening where I did the ketamine in small doses, I think that is a lot like mushrooms too. No one was drinking up there. And so there was no aggression. There was alcohol like makes people act like assholes.
Yeah.
And that's the reason probably for every fight I've seen as a child and into adulthood. Mm. If you see a sober fight, like during the day because of road rage, it's horrifying.
Yeah.
If everyone just did some mushrooms and what's that bag, Kulop? What's it called again?
So this will be a different, I love that experience you're describing, mushrooms. Yeah. I have those experiences. This is more like, you know, I'm just going to read it to you. By the way, I don't represent this company.
Right.
This is the greatest integrated spot that you really are good at your job.
Who have I become? I just shill.
An influencer, shill. That's who. Read the ingredients.
It's shill.
It's smooth. It's very,
so unlock your mind's potential with Silo. Subperceptual doses, also known as microdosing, targets brain pathways to increase cognitive function, enhance focus, and heighten levels of creativity.
So it fights Alzheimer's.
Oh, please.
Interesting.
It's the pathways. You're supposed to align those pathways.
Mm-hmm. And it is widely considered to be a productivity hack that sharpens the senses to boost work efficiency and stay ahead of the curve, optimize your everyday life with improved introspection and mood while tapping into the flow state.
Yeah.
I've been doing this for 4 months.
I don't see
a downside. I don't see a downside.
Because
it has helped.
I'm always behind the curve.
And it is not like about like, oh, hustle culture. That's not another way to like, you know, it's not that. Now, I will say, since I brought up Add to Cart, if I decide to put that focus on online shopping, that's where it is.
Well, you know what? Will you describe your podcast to us just because just so people know?
I keep talking about it?
Yes, please do.
I co-host it with Suchin Pak and we say things like, what have you added to cart this week? And that can be a face serum or it can be an idea. What have you removed from cart? And it's really just discussion starters because it gets very intimate with what you've added to cart. And sometimes we have guests, sometimes it's just her and I.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Awesome.
Because then it's kind of like, oh, I heard about this good new lip balm. Or yeah. it's conceptual conversation about yeah. like how it feels to be. Because I feel like a lot of people, or should just speak for myself, in quarantine, I suddenly discovered, like I never used Amazon before. And then I was like, oh, that's right. I can have this weird inkling of an idea that this was what would make me happy and have it like the next day or in 3 days. And yes. that I never, I think just, I went so long being broke that I was like, do not spend money that way. So right. then I suddenly was like, oh, I can do that. And I think a lot of people do it, but it is like, does it actually work? I love the idea of removing things from cart because it's like, that's how you, on any website, go through and you're kind of like, you click it if you're feeling it. And then by the time you go and look at that cart, you're kind of like, no, I'm not.
Do I need it? Yeah.
Yeah.
And even it's like during, because we started this podcast during the pandemic. When you talk about like things that you've bought and felt that you've bought that seem inconsequential, I like to ask the question, why? Why did you feel that was going to change your right. situation? Why did you need that? What was the emotional thing?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I think that is either interesting or very funny. Because no matter what, it's revealing.
Yes. Well, my thing is, for some reason, I'm sure it's just this weird thing where I like to act like and tell myself, I don't care about aging. Of course, I'm the chill gal that's yeah. like totally. And you should see how many creams and sauces I have on my bathroom counter. Like if there is a serum, like when you just True. Said face serum, I'm like, ooh, face yeah. serum. Like there's yeah. that idea that it's just, you need just this one new thing. And they really have us, they have us by the balls, us gals, where oh. it's like, oh, the new thing is mushrooms inside your serum, or it's vitamin C, or it's, you know, squalene or whatever. But
yeah, yeah, blue tansy.
Every week there's a new product that is the reason, like you have to get this because this is the one that's going to scrape everything off your face. And it's very, I'm not doing anything for like the shape of my legs. It's like all the focus is like, you know, on mm-hmm. what I look at in the mirror that I can see, and everything else is kind of like, oh, well, whatever. No, the only thing I have to solve is up here. And it's just like very specific and kind of myopic, I think, in a way.
Yeah, and then things will just come up. Like Sujin revealed that like she often carries poise pads around for travel. It's necessary for her. And I was like, why? What do you? Well, on the plane, I'm like, what are you talking about? You go to the bathroom on the plane. She's like, what if like I need to go and they say I can't get up, and so I need to be able to do it. And I'm like, what?
Wow.
What are you talking about? She's like, what if I'm driving to LA? You want me to stop? You want me to stop at a gas station? I'm like, well, then you're like that astronaut lady who yes. who like yes. is going to like kill her ex-boyfriend's like wife or something like that. And she's yes. like, well, like, and so it ends up being this like, yeah, it just ends up. We just start to kind of, and I have my things, right? But like, you get into the nuance of like a person. And what I mean, and what they need to fill whatever voids they have.
Yes. Such a good idea.
And poise pads, like, I don't know much about them, but can they take a full flow?
That's what I'm saying.
Like
yeah,
a diaper?
Yeah. Because they're adult yeah. diapers. Yeah. That's what they are.
So it's more than a pad. They wrap around. They got a waist and leg holes.
I think they have very different versions.
Yeah.
Chris, you would not believe the advances in maxi pad technology. Like that, it's more than just pouring a half a cup of blue liquid
right, right.
on a thing anymore. Now it's like, but my thing is, I understand having the security feeling of I have this with me just in case.
Yeah.
But if she's being blocked from going to the bathroom, how is she going to put that poise pad on?
Yeah, you just wear it when you wake
it's
up.
On. It's on.
On all day.
It's on. It's already on.
She's completely the astronaut.
She's on the flight.
Lady. She's
yeah,
completely
she, it's on. It's
got
on.
It. Got it.
That's, yeah.
I'm 100% on board, and I'm not going to get into it because I'd be revealing too much, but I add to cart, please.
Yes.
You know what I took? I had something pending in my cart for weeks,
what?
And I took it off today. It was a new shower curtain, and I don't need to buy a 10 by 10 piece of plastic, but they don't make, they're all made out of plastic. So I just ended up cleaning the one I have. Problem solved.
How long have you had it?
4 years.
You go ahead and get a new one.
Yeah, I suppose. They do have like EP or like the eco-friendly ones that are at least made out of recycled. I do want, I might add it to cart. To be honest, a lot of the prints, they didn't have anything that matched my decor.
And that I wanted to know what the prints were. I wanted to know if it was, you know, personalized and it was you, like a big picture of your face.
The exact same print as my mountain hazy tree wallpaper in my bedroom. It's the exact same photo, but on a shower curtain. And I saw it and I, you know, it's just been sitting in the cart. Maybe I will get it. Maybe you talk me into it. But if it ends up in the ocean and in some dolphin's blowhole, I just won't go to the ocean with it. You know what? I'm going to quit bringing. What I've been doing is bringing these shower curtains to the beach.
Yeah, stop.
Using them as a blanket. And then at the end of the day, I just whip it out there.
Yeah, that's not good. If I could, I don't want to be judgy, but...
It's fun. I put it on a surfer's back and I'm like, you're a superhero now. And they go and we have a great time with it. It's a good way to meet people.
Wait, I literally, because I love this idea so much, I just literally just opened Amazon to see. And I have things in my cart that have been there so long, the prices have changed.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I want to know how many items you have in your cart right now.
Let's take a look.
Sorry.
I need to know.
Let's do your podcast on our podcast. This is
16
a true mashup.
16 what? Items.
I have skateboard wheels that I don't need that I haven't purchased yet.
Yeah, you don't need them.
100-foot extension cord.
Chris, we're in my cart. We're in it. Of my 16 items, you know, my thing is I get cookbooks all the time.
I love a cookbook.
And I look at it and I'm like, that's it. And that's going to be the solution of my lid. And I think I'm going to buy it. And then it's like, I don't cook. And I don't I don't want to cook.
You don't want to cook?
What am I doing?
Okay. But you do cook. When you've had parties, you make really good food.
Oh, you mean like a Trader Joe appetizer or something?
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, that's the kind
of... Yeah, I don't think I'm
to
that...
To me, you're still cooking.
Good.
The oven was turned on.
True. Thank you. Yeah. That's full credit.
Yeah, yeah.
Karen, I do get that, though, because the fantasy of a Nancy Myers-type existence, yes, where you crack open a book and the lemonade looks perfect on the counter and you have a cast iron skillet, you know, buttered... garlic chicken and you know, everything, music is playing and you're cracking a bottle. Well, you know, all like it, there's
it's
a fantasy
easy.
To it. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
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 It's all like the, I'll just throw in a roast chicken.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We all, it's that being
Ina
that person.
Garten, yeah,
Ina Garten.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Great chicken recipe, by the way, guys.
The one time I cooked in quarantine, I made her chicken recipe because everybody told me that's the only one you need. Now I can't remember if it was turkey or no, I think it was a chicken.
Yeah, it's probably
and
chicken.
The video, the way she hosts that video, she's just like, you know, like it's all her story is like, I told my husband. Like, I love that woman so much.
Jeffrey.
And her whole vibe.
Who what's the name? I didn't catch the name. Who's
she's the barefoot Contessa, Ina Garten.
Oh yes. Yeah. I'm familiar.
But she used to work in like the White House in like the
really
Carter administration or something.
Oh, I didn't know
she
that.
She was like some really high level political cabinet member or something like that. But now she's kind of, she is like a way chiller Martha Stewart. Like,
yes.
Martha Stewart was like a 60s print model. Like Ina Garten was like working on the nuclear plan, you know? So her thing is more like, grab your white wine, put on your linen shirt, and hang out in the kitchen. It's not the perfectionistic kind of, everything must be a certain way,
yeah,
is the vibe, I guess.
Yeah, she's not
fun.
Doing, exactly. She's not doing like French style. It's like Whole Foods, Alice Waters type, like, you know, fresh, you know, it's not about like perfectly making pies. You know what I mean? Like that
right,
sort of
yeah.
type A kind of vibe.
Everything is like for her friends or
yeah.
for like a fun dinner party. Like she just has the idea, right? it seems like to me. So I was like, and she's like, the easiest way to make a chicken is you cut a lemon in half, you string it up, and you blah, blah. Like it, she made me believe I could do it. And then I did it and it turned out great. It was a great
She's
experience.
Great. She's got a great mac and cheese recipe if you're into it.
Oh, really?
I'm afraid so.
And I love mac and cheese. Her recipe surprised me is that she puts on top sliced tomatoes, which I'm like, is this going to work? Guys, it works.
Does it?
It does. And then it's sliced tomatoes and then breadcrumbs on top.
Yeah, breadcrumbs, I was going to say.
Yeah.
And then you bake it after it's done, right?
Yes.
I got these Italian breadcrumbs. They're almost too flavorful. Oh, my mouth is watering. It's true. It's not just in cartoons.
You should try. Oh, sorry.
I was going to say that's
keyed up about that.
Wait, what? What is
mac
it?
And try cheese. What? Oh, I was going to just quickly say that her style of cooking is the kind of cooking that I like. It's not, it's like, I'm okay if it's slow, but it's got to be simple. I'm not a trained chef. It's like, what are the, like, you know, what are these whole foods I can put together?
Right? I am ready to graduate from these meal kits that I'm having delivered.
Okay.
It's like, they're too expensive and I already know the basics now. I'm not bragging.
Well, if I get another quesadilla thing,
like, come on.
But like during quarantine, I got a recipe for bruschetta from the Bon Appetit Test Kitchen, I think it was. And I've made it so many times since that time.
Yeah.
Because it literally is you cut up a tomato, oil, balsamic, some salt. And then if you have basil, you can put that in too. That's the only thing that isn't going on in bruschetta, which I was like, I spend so much money at Italian restaurants ordering this shit for home. And it is the easiest thing I could be making myself.
You know what? All I need to know is 10 different things I want to eat.
Yeah.
I'm not feeding other mouths. I don't, 10 is enough.
10 is enough. I was like, did you know
10 is enough? 10 is
enough. I thought it was a TGIF show. But yeah, I think you're right.
It was 8 is enough, and it was late 70s. It was the one of the only like family dramas, and it took place in Sacramento, which made me laugh. So we loved that show growing up. But the idea that it was like in the hopping like, you know, capital city of Sacramento, like,
and then
just the weirdest.
Cut to me interviewing some bulldog that skateboards, and Dick Van Patten was at the Natural Balance. He's part owner of that dog food company, and he was just putting dog food on a shelf, and at the end of it I thought he had this dog food that it said good for people and animals. And I know I've already talked about this, but we ended that segment with me eating out of this can of dog food. And it just tasted like people food. It's like good food for animals. And it was his idea. It was difficult. He's like, it'd be funny if you were eating it. You could just open it. And he went back to like an office and got me a spoon. And that's how we ended the segment. And I'm like, God damn, I love Dick Van Patten. And I only spent about 8 minutes with him, and it was not enough.
Well done.
He was a sweet man. Yeah.
Really, really good.
I hope he's still around.
I feel like all of us funniest gals need to...
Me included.
Go to the Ina Garten website and pick some recipes so the next time we talk to each other, we'll be able to be like, have you tried the this?
Yes.
You did that already.
The cool barefoot off, Contessa?
Barefoot Contessa.
Yeah. Okay. I'll do that.
Because she's all about simplicity, elegance, you know, what your friends want.
And cooking for one?
Well,
I'm not lonely. It's just that's how my kitchen is. That's how it's set up. Just me. I could have guests if I wanted.
But you could freeze and, you know, you could meal plan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, like you could divide it and you know, I think it could still work for you.
Yeah. I'm excited.
I think so too. Is there anything else you want to talk about or plug?
Yeah.
Cool up. This has gone by so fast.
We didn't wax.
Oh, man, are you kidding
me?
We didn't even talk about the Garage Comedy Vegas thing, but I think that was after you weren't. Were you part of that where we all went to Vegas? Was whatever. We were talking about getting naked, and that was the one time I got, I was riding in a trunk, and I got naked in the trunk. So when they opened it, I could then run out naked and act like I had been kidnapped. But anyway, that was
Was I around at this
time? I feel like you weren't. Like, okay. I feel like you had just stopped running comedy. And then we did, but we were a sideshow in Vegas. Like, they didn't, they had literally had us doing things on a sidewalk and my pocket got picked.
Okay, yeah. I think I was gone by then.
Okay,
I was like,
yeah.
Because I was like, wait, no. And I was thinking, no, that was the Modest Proposal. Arizona show.
Oh, right. At the Paper Heart. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, then I'm glad I didn't bring it up.
But you found a way to bring up you getting naked.
I know. I've been waiting. That's why I cleaned my ears today. So I could tell that story.
No, I mean, this has been so fun. I just love catching up with you guys and having a fun conversation.
I know. It was great.
I have not seen you in many years.
Many years.
More than five.
Yeah, easily.
Everybody listen to Add to Cart, Cool Up's most recent podcast.
Yes.
Are Who Charted episodes still anywhere, or did you guys take that? Is that
I think
gone?
How's still doing it? We still doing it. But I think it's, I think he took it off Stitcher. I'm not sure. He's still, I don't know. The answer is I don't know.
He's got the feed. I get it.
And where can people still watch episodes of Bajillion Dollar Properties?
They can still watch. You can get it on iTunes, but I think it plays on Roku often.
Okay, yeah.
Not Roku. Nope.
Hulu?
Not Hulu.
Voodoo? Or
Voodoo? Okay, we're getting closer.
V-U-D-U? That one?
Wow, I'm the worst.
No, you aren't. You know what would be the worst if you knew exactly the show times?
Yeah, exactly.
Because you watch your own creation.
It's a free service that,
Pluto.
Thank you.
Casey O'Brien, he chimed in. That wasn't my
Thank
brain
you,
suddenly.
Oh,
see,
sweating,
it's these pathways
Casey.
That I'm my alkaloid
guys, it's not
triad.
Working.
It's all because of fucking ketamine, man. It's not going to make
you... Take two more gummies.
Yeah.
You got this.
Yeah,
you
don't take this. Too many. You die in a toilet like Elvis.
Yay. Please come back soon. Cool.
Yes,
off.
Please.
Awesome.
Thank you. Thank
you.
Yeah,
you're
both.
The best. You've been listening to Do You Need Ride? DYN.
AR.
This has been an Exactly Right production.
Produced by Casey O'Brien.
Mixed by John Bradley.
Artwork by Chris Fairbanks.
Theme song by Karen Kilgariff.
Follow the show on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Dynar Podcast. That's DYNAR Podcast.
For more information, go to exactlyrightmedia.com.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Follow Do You Need a Ride on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen so you never miss an episode.
If you like what you hear, rate and review the show.
And visit the exactlyrightstore.com to purchase Do You Need a Ride merch.